Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. I appeal to your spiritual leaders. I make this appeal as a spiritual leader who also witnessed Christ's sufferings and will share in the glory that will be revealed. Be shepherds over the flock God has entrusted to you. Watch over it as God does. Don't do this because you have to, but because you want to. Don't do it out of greed, but out of a desire to serve. Don't be rulers over the people entrusted to you, but be examples for the flock to follow. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young people, in a similar way, place yourselves under the authority of spiritual leaders. Furthermore, all of you must serve each other with humility, because God opposes the arrogant, but favors the humble. Be humbled by God's power, so that when the right time comes, He will honor you. Turn all your anxiety over to God, because He cares for you. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Be firm in the faith and resist him, knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. God, who shows you his kindness and who has called you through Christ Jesus to his eternal glory, will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you as you suffer for a little while. Power belongs to him forever. Amen. This is God's word. We begin with two stories about obedience. Neil Martin, a member of the British Parliament, was once giving a group of his constituents a guided tour of the Houses of Parliament. During the course of the visit, the group happened to meet Lord Hailsham, then Lord Chancellor, wearing all the regalia of his office. Hailsham recognized Martin among the group and cried, "Kneel!" Not daring to question or disobey the command, the entire group of visitors promptly fell to their knees. John Kenneth Galbraith, a prominent economist in his day, wrote in his autobiography, A Life in Our Times, about the devotion of Emily Gloria Wilson, his family's housekeeper. It had been a very wearying day, and I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. "Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson." "He's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him."
"Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him."
"No, Mr. President. I work for him, not you." When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. "Tell that woman I want her here, in the White House." In our emphasis on the grace and love of God, we sometimes forget that we are supposed to obey him. We are to do what he commands and avoid what he forbids. The Christian life is not only a matter of comfort and help, it's also a matter of daily obedience, of humbling ourselves, and persevering through suffering. In fact, the Apostle Peter equates obeying God with humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand. Peter's words are a vivid call for a renewal of our obedience. If life is difficult, obedience is even more so. This really comes to bear in the relationship between child and parent. Every conscientious parent knows how hard it is to exercise their God-given authority over their children. The delicate balance of being tough yet tender is not easy to maintain. I'm reminded of the mother who wanted to have the last word but couldn't handle the hassle that resulted whenever she said no to her young son. After an especially trying day, she threw up her hands and shouted, "All right, Billy, do whatever you want. Now let me see you disobey that." The idea of obedience is at odds with human nature. We are much more in tune with the philosophy, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." And without thinking about it, we bring this into our relationship with God. If I were being consistently obedient to God, I'd be ready and willing to take a servant's posture in all my relationships with others. If I were being obedient to God consistently, I would be forgiving others with the forgiveness I have received from Jesus. If I were consistently being obedient to God, I would intentionally put Him first in every area of my life, no exclusions. I am more than happy to receive God's love and His blessings and His answered prayers, but then to actually obey Him, to humble myself by doing things God's way instead of my own? Come on now. Let's not get crazy. But when it comes to obedience, there's nothing crazy about it. What's crazy is thinking that we can ignore God and live life on our own terms and everything's going to be fine. Thinking that I know better than God gets right to the heart of what sin is. So, from time to time, God will let us learn the hard way that we're pretty lousy at His job. We find evidence of this everywhere, even places like the football field. Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to the championship in 1971, admitted that his position was a source of trial for him. You see, Coach Tom Landry called every single play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, when to hand off. Only in emergency situations could he change the play, and he had better be right. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a quote-unquote genius mind when it came to football strategy, his pride said that he should be able to run his own team. In this respect, we are no different than a Hall of Fame quarterback. Pride says, I should be able to run my own team. I should be able to run my own life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to call the plays for me. I'm smart enough to figure this out on my own. And here's where we have terrible, frightening power. God will not force you to obey Him. If you want to reject His coaching, He will let you. If you don't want Him to call the plays, He won't. That also means He'll let you deal with the consequences of your decisions, and they won't be good. At their most benign, you'll have an aching emptiness inside that can't be filled, no matter how hard you try. The more malignant consequences include the destruction of our most important relationships, the destruction of marriages and families, the abuse of all sorts of substances, isolation, violence, hatred of oneself and others. But hey, you wanted to call the shots. Thanks be to God that His opinion of us does not rest on how well we obey Him. In order to change rebellious hearts, in order to change you and me, He practiced perfect forgiveness. Jesus humbled Himself by becoming human. God the Creator became God the creature. Jesus gave up the holiness of heaven for the burden of this world. He obeyed the law of love without a mistake. And in perfect obedience to His Father's plan, He laid down His perfect life as a sacrifice on the cross. Jesus prayed in agony, "Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want." And then He walked right into that suffering, took that cup, and drank it down to the bottom. This is the obedience that saves you. This is the obedience that offers you redemption. Not your obedience, Jesus' obedience. His perfect life, sacrificed on the cross, raised again, will cover the debt of your sin. Just believe that it counts for you. And accounts for you. God credits your account with full forgiveness. Back to Roger Staubach, the Cowboys quarterback who chafed at the idea of the coach calling all the plays later said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. If there is a secret to obedience, that is it. Sinful human nature tells me that obedience is somehow going to hurt me or hold me back or keep me from having fun. But let this idea open up to you. Once you learn to obey God, there is harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Trusting in the obedience of Jesus, I can see how that brings blessing into my life. When I do things God's way, good things happen and I feel better. That's no accident. That's not to say that all my problems disappear when I obey God. In fact, there may be a personal cost to pay for being obedient to Jesus. The Apostle Peter was upfront about this when he wrote, "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But even so, when I look at how Jesus obeyed his Father and what his obedience did for me, I am moved to pray, Father, do what you want, not what I want. Cause me to live in harmony with you. Give me the fulfillment of living life your way. Be merciful to me and share your Son's victory with me. Help me to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen."